the purgatory mystic Maria Sima is asked the single most important question that you can ask about purgatory. When you hear it, it's going to be so obvious. We're going to talk about and unpack her answer. First, we're going to talk about what it even means. And then I want to give you an insight from a different interview that I had that really will help you to understand what she is even talking about. We're going to talk about all this and more in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now let's get right into it. Now this is coming from the book, Get Us Out of Here. Listen to what she's asked and think about her answer. One word she gives. What advice do you have for those who wish to become holy while here on earth? Later on, she's asked in a different way, what is the fastest way for us to go to heaven? In other words, the most important question that you can ask about purgatory is, how do you skip it? How do you skip this place of much pain? Now listen to essentially the one word answer that she gives to both of these questions. She says, be humble. That's the answer. Make nothing of yourself and never forget for one moment that you are no better than anybody else is. Only Jesus and his mother were not poor sinners while they were here among us in the flesh. And then to the second question, she says the same thing. What's the fastest way for us to get to heaven? Again, deep humility. Satan can never get near it, and it is the quickest way to get to heaven. Then good deeds towards our neighbor and toward the poor souls. Charity, in other words, acts of charity in deep humility. That is the secret sauce. That is the formula. But you have to understand what it means because it could be very much misinterpreted. Then she says, look at Mother Teresa's life. For these attributes, she became one of the most loved people on earth. She chose to work in the hell of Calcutta, serving the lowest, dirtiest, and sickest, and that brought her to God instantly. I'm sure of it. Incredible. One word. But humility is one of these debated things. What is it? What does it mean? In a similar way to where the most important question that you can ask about purgatory is the most obvious. How do you skip it? The meaning of humility is hidden within the own word. I was actually asking God, please inspire me. What can I teach him? What is humility? You hear all these things that it's this, that it's that, that it's the other thing, and that you act on this. But how I'm going to define it to you is going to radically change how you understand it. And it's so simple. It's right there. Humility comes from the word humus, Latin, which means dirt. Dirt. So think about it. To become humble means to become like dirt. We learn about this in Lent. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. What does it mean to become like dirt? Well, we were dirt, and then we're raised up to something else, and then we're brought back to it. What does it mean to become humus, to become dirt? It means death. That's what it means. It means to die. And when you superimpose that word over everything else where it says to be humble, it makes complete sense. Now, this is different than humiliation. So humility is self-death, where you choose it out of your own free will, courageously, and you embrace it with love for God. It's that type of death. A humiliation is when you're being forced to do something that degrades you. And that is not humility. That is humiliation. That's when someone else is doing something to you against your will. Now, you can take a humiliation and gain humility from it if you then embrace it out of your own free will. This is exactly what Jesus does. Now, let's kind of unpack why humility and death is the key to heaven, because this is, you have to understand the sort of technical behind what's really happening. Now, there are at least five different ways that we can embrace humility or this self-death out of love for God. And we start from sort of the lower and then we go to the higher. Okay. So the first one is physical humility. So physical death. An example of this would be fasting. For instance, whenever in the scriptures you hear them say, humble yourselves before the Lord, what do? They immediately do penance. And we see that connection. They fast, sackcloth, and ashes, which is like throwing dirt on your head. So they are doing a physical type of death. What's fasting? Fasting is like a type of self-death that you are willingly embracing. So you have physical, you have emotional humility. And an example of this would be perhaps to do something that you find distasteful, something that feels like dying, but you do it anyway out of love for a person. So you have physical, you have emotional, you have social humility. So for instance, this would be like taking the lowest place at a table. So you have a social rank that's higher, but you, so to speak, kill it. You put it to death and you take the lowest place out of love for someone else or out of love for God. So you have physical, you have emotional, you have social, then you have intellectual humility. For instance, accepting when you're wrong, even though you may know a lot about a thing and someone, especially let's say someone younger that you has something to teach you and you say, wow, you know what? You're right. And I'm wrong, because that takes a type of self-death that you're embracing. And then the highest form of humility would be spiritual humility. Now, this would be something of what people are put through when they go through the dark night of the soul. So the mystics talk about these types of deaths that we go through, or these types of humilities that we go through, where you talk about a night of the senses, so a darkness to how we feel, and then a dark night of the soul, to where when you pray, you can't even feel God. So you used to feel God, but now not anymore. But you continue praying, you willingly embrace that type of spiritual death out of love for God. Now, those are the different types of humilities. It's not going to show you all the different ways in which we can be humble. And there may be even more types of humility that I'm not aware of. But now let's talk about why does death work? Now, one of the principles that I really embrace, and I want you to really understand it and to have it for yourself, is that the physical world mirrors the spiritual world. If you want to understand what works in the spiritual world, just look at what's happening in the physical world. So for instance, if you take the way in which earthly people become wealthy, you can take those same principles to gain spiritual wealth. I've talked about this in other videos. Now let's look at the principles that you learn from planting. In planting and in plants, I don't really like gardening and all that stuff, but my wife does and lots of people do. What do you need? You need fertilizer. What's fertilizer? Dead stuff. The more dead stuff that you put in the dirt in plants, and the more kind of dead stuff that there is in the dirt, the more it works. Why is that? It's because it's like you're reducing everything to its most basic principles, carbon and oxygen and other stuff. I don't even know what chemicals are in there. You're giving it the most basic things so that the plant can then take that and make it into itself. This is the exact same thing that we see in the spiritual life. Now, there are at least two ways or two reasons that I'm aware of in which humility works. So in the one case, when we come to God, it's like we're fully formed and we're adults. Like we're like an adult and a full mature, let's say a bone. And so you can't move it. You can't reshape it in this sense. And so then when you embrace humility, when you embrace self-death in these specific types of ways, physical, emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual, in one of those five categories, it's like you're giving God back the original principles. It's like you're saying, God, I'm going to bring myself down to give you the carbon, to put yourself, so to speak, in the default mode, or to use another type of language, to put yourself, so to speak, in stem cell mode, so that you're making yourself nothing, so that now God can use his divine power to make you into a new something. When you give something to God, he can change that into something, but there's a lot less flexibility. If you give God nothing, God can turn nothing into a new something. So this is spiritually what's happening. That's why when you see the saints that they're undergoing so much suffering, it's like they're breaking themselves down, and then God is able to transform them into radically new beings. The most incredible example of this is obviously Jesus on the cross. He allowed his humanity to be crushed beyond belief to the lowest common denominator, to the absolute highest death. Why? So that then he could be radically transformed into the greatest something, the greatest human something that we've ever seen. His resurrection, his glorious resurrection. He's the most glorious of all human beings in heaven. So that's one angle of it, of making yourself nothing so that God can reshape you literally, kind of from the beginning or from the origins. Now, the second way of understanding it is a little bit different. It's so imagine that we are 100% soul and 100% body. So when you're running on both cylinders, it's like you're 200%. So that those are sort of the resources that we have. We have 100% soul, 100% body. Now, when you crush the body and you reduce it 50%, there's like a 50% gap there. And so then the soul can kind of expand and take over more. See what I'm saying? So you reduce this one so that this one can grow and expand. You're reducing the shell of the body, so to speak, so that the soul, which tends towards infinity much more than the body, can expand and grow. You see this all the time with the saints. So for instance, before I even explain that, what are some of the characteristics of a spirit? A spirit can be in multiple places. At times it could see the future, the present, and the past. It could see multiple places. It could reshape things. It could move faster. It has like a larger space. So that's why when you see someone like, for instance, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, she had so much death in her body. Her body was like at 20% capacity, that her soul was able to then take over that extra space that was left at 80%, and it was incredibly heightened. What was she able to do? Bilocate, see demons, see what's really behind relics, see the past, the future, see all types of things. She was able to transport and travel to all types of places throughout the world. I mean, unbelievable things. And you see this in all types of saints. The more they suffer, the more the spiritual capacities of the soul increase. Now, actually, a third sort of way of looking at why does humility work? Why does this self-death work? Very simple. So who do we meet when we die? Who is on the other side of this life of death? God. That's an easy one. So in a certain sense, when you tear down the veil of life by embracing a type of self-death, penance, fasting, these types of things, self-humiliation, and all of that, it's like you're allowing heaven to come in and enter earth. The greater the veil is torn open, the more the other side can come in. Again, this is a way that we can understand what's going on with the saints, especially where you see the ones that are dying the most to earthly things, you see the greatest supernatural manifestations of things. Now, to give you a practical example of what humility looks like, I want to share with you a piece from an interview of the author of this incredible book, who is an incredibly humble man, Humility of the Saints. Now, this book is basically, as it says here, the Litany of Humility made flesh. Incredible book. You should go check it out from Sophia Press. Link down below. So listen to what he has to say. So Patrick, because of this one virtue that this woman had, a pope of all people appeared to her from purgatory, Pope Pius V. So not just any soul. You know, when a pope appears to you from purgatory, you know it's business. What did she have? How did she exercise it? Like, what did that look like? And who even was she? Tell us the story.
Yeah. So it was Blessed Elizabeth Canori Mora. You know, she lived in the 18th century. She was a mother of two children, and actually her first two children that had passed away from either could have been miscarriage or, you know, just dying and as an infant loss. Her husband, he was so upset, just dealing with the grief. And then he became jealous of her closeness with her family that he basically abandoned the family and left her in destitute. And through all those trials, she kept praying for her husband, praying for his conversion. And he even tried to kill her at one point. Because of just her faithfulness to God and her prayer, eventually after her death, her husband became a Catholic priest. But what's amazing about her life is, you know, she talks about praise, you know, and I put her in the chapter on the litany of humility on the, from the desire of being praised. And she detested praises. And in a sense, she was came to that point where she welcomed rebukes and criticism. And just, I think that that sacrificial love, she also helped take care of the poor and the sick as a third order, I think a member of the Trinitarian order. But just this, I think that humility, that she was just enduring the sufferings from her husband. And then at one point, I think she had our Lord revealed to her, she was living like a life of vanity. And so that past sin of just vanity, it kind of kept her humble. And I think that God often uses, you know, various saints, like their past sins, not in a sense of shame, but it just keeps them grounded in the truth about themselves, that the saints really believed, like, you know, Blessed Elizabeth, you know, she believed that she was the greatest sinner in the world because she saw her imperfections before the Lord. And so that is why it was Pope Pius, actually the sixth that appeared to her. Pope Pius the sixth. But her, and she was kind of had doubts about that vision. And so then basically he said to her, like, go to your spiritual director. And so she went to her spiritual father, and her spiritual father told her to go pray five times at the tomb of Pope Pius V, who was, you know, who Pope Pius VI took the name after, right? Pope Pius right. V lived a couple centuries earlier. Pope Pius VI actually, he lived during the time of Blessed Elizabeth, and he was okay. He was actually a pretty faithful priest. You know, he stood up to the French Revolution and became exiled, but it said he was in purgatory, as I put in the book, because his negligence of his office. So it wasn't like he was this wretched pope. And I think it, and so what she did is after praying for him, the following day, she saw him at Mass. He appeared in a vision and said, you know, he's in heaven. And so just what an example that, you know, even the Pope, sometimes we put, you know, we think these people are automatically in heaven, but they need our prayers even more.
Now, how do we get more humility? How do we get power to self-death or to embrace this type of death out of love for God? Well, think about this. If we eat earthly food to live, and think of living as pride. What do we even call it? The pride of life. Interesting, right? Well, then what do we eat to get that type of death? The Eucharist. And what is the Eucharist? The Eucharist, there's many ways that we can say it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. But you could say in a certain way that it's the passion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus all in one. So the Eucharist helps you die to self. It helps you embrace humility, just as human regular food helps you live to self. And we don't want to live to self. We want to die to self. Why? So that Christ can be born in us. So literally, this food helps you die to yourself. My friends, incredible stuff. And there's so much more that we can say, but we're going to end it right there. If this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support the channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.